The rainbow was called the python of the sky. Okonkwo called his three wives and told them to get things together for a great feast. "I must thank my mother's kinsmen before I go," he said. Ekwefi still had some cassava left on her farm from the previous year. Neither of the other wives had. It was not that they had been lazy, but that they had many children to feed. It was therefore understood that Ekwefi would provide cassava for the feast. Woye's mother and Ojiugo would provide the other things like smoked fish, palm oil, and pepper for the soup. Page 164. Okonkwo would take care of meat and yams. Ekwefi rose early on the following morning and went to her farm with her daughter, Isinma, and Ojiugo's daughter, Obiageli, to harvest cassava tubers. Each of them carried a long cane basket, a machete for cutting down the soft cassava stem, and a little hoe for digging out the tuber. Fortunately, a light rain had fallen during the night, and the soil would not be very hard. "It will not take us long to harvest as much as we like," said Ekwefi. "But the leaves will be wet," said Isinma. Her basket was balanced on her head, and her arms folded across her breasts. She felt cold. "I dislike cold water dropping on my back. We should have waited for the sun to rise and dry the leaves." Obiageli called her Salt because she said that she disliked water. "Are you afraid you may dissolve?" The harvesting was easy, as Ekwefi had said. Isinma shook every tree violently with a long stick before she bent down to cut the stem and dig out the tuber. Sometimes it was not necessary to dig. They just pulled the stump, and earth rose, roots snapped below, and the tuber was pulled out. When they had harvested a sizable heap, they carried it down in two trips to the stream, where every woman had a shallow well for fermenting her cassava. "It should be ready in 4 days, or even three," said Obiageli. "They are young tubers." "They're not all that young," said Ekwefi. "I planted the farm nearly 2 years ago." Page 165. "It is a poor soil, and that is why the tubers are so small." Okonkwo never did things by halves. When his wife Ekwefi protested that 2 goats were sufficient for the feast, he told her that it was not her affair. "I am calling a feast because I have the wherewithal. I cannot live on the bank of a river and wash my hands with spittle. My mother's people have been good to me, and I must show my gratitude." And so 3 goats were slaughtered, and a number of fowls. It was like a wedding feast. There was fufu and yam pottage, egusi soup, and bitter leaf soup, and pots of palm wine. All the umunna were invited to the feast, all the descendants of Okolo, who had lived about 200 years before. The oldest member of this extensive family was Okonkwo's uncle, Uchendu. The kola nut was given to him to break, and he prayed to the ancestors. He asked them for health and children. "We do not ask for wealth, because he that has health and children will also have wealth. We do not pray to have more money, but to have more kinsmen. We are better than animals because we have kinsmen. An animal rubs its itching flank against a tree. A man asks his kinsman to scratch him." He prayed especially for Okonkwo and his family. He then broke the kola nut and threw one of the lobes on the ground for the ancestors. Page 166. As the broken kola nuts were passed round, Okonkwo's wives and children, and those who came to help them with the cooking, began to bring out the food. His sons brought out the pots of palm wine. There was so much food and drink that many kinsmen whistled in surprise. When all was laid out, Okonkwo rose to speak. "I beg you to accept this little kola," he said. "It is not to pay you back for all you did for me in these 7 years. A child cannot pay for its mother's milk. I have only called you together because it is good for kinsmen to meet." Yam pottage was served first, because it was lighter than fufu, and because yam always came first. Then the fufu was served. Some kinsmen ate it with egusi soup, and others with bitter leaf soup. The meat was then shared so that every member of the umunna had a portion. Every man rose in order of years and took a share. Even the few kinsmen who had not been able to come had their shares taken out for them in due term. As the palm wine was drunk, one of the oldest members of the umunna rose to thank Okonkwor. If I say that we did not expect such a big feast, I will be suggesting that we did not know how open-handed our son, Okonkwor, is. We all know him, and we expected a big feast, but it turned out to be even bigger than we expected. Thank you. May all you took out return again tenfold. It is good in these days when the younger generation consider themselves wiser than their sires to see a man doing things in the grand old way. A man who calls his kinsmen to a feast does not do so to save them from starving. They all have food in their own homes. When we gather together in the moonlit village ground, it is not because of the moon. Page 167. Every man can see it in his own compound. We come together because it is good for kinsmen to do so. You may ask why I am saying all this. I say it because I fear for the younger generation, for you people. He waved his arm where most of the young men sat. As for me, I have only a short while to live, and so have Uchendu and Unachuku and Emefo. But I fear for you young people because you do not understand how strong is the bond of kinship. You do not know what it is to speak with one voice. And what is the result? An abominable religion has settled among you. A man can now leave his father and his brothers. He can curse the gods of his fathers and his ancestors like a hunter's dog that suddenly goes mad and turns on his master. I fear for you. I fear for the clan. He turned again to Okonkwor and said, "Thank you for calling us together." Page 168 is blank.